You're listening to Recovery Podcast, a production of Volunteers of America. My name's Nick, and I want to thank you for joining us this week for episode 61. At Volunteers of America, we are a ministry of service, seeing broken people physically, emotionally, and spiritually healed and thriving in their lives. Our team brings you Recovery Podcast twice a month with stories, interviews, and insights for all those seeking to live their best life. It's our goal to inform, engage, and inspire all who listen. Subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use to get it delivered twice each month. If you like what you hear, please, please subscribe and leave us a review. It helps so much. And now for this week's episode. Thank you all for joining us for this very special episode during Moral Injury Month here at Recovery Podcast. Moral injury is a very real issue, yet it often goes unnoticed, causing damage to one's very soul. Over the next two episodes, as I visit with Kevin Kloster, our Director of Moral Injury here at VOA Northern Rockies, we take a deeper look at why moral injury is so harming and what we can do to find healing. I hope you enjoy this content and come away with a greater understanding. Thanks again for listening. Thank you all again for joining us. Another episode of Recovery Podcast. We must be up to, over 60 episodes at this point somewhere. And I'm so thankful for that. The fact that we continue to grow, the fact that you keep on listening to us as we grow. And I hope this has been helpful for you. I took a little time to reflect here recently on just what this podcast means. And my ongoing prayer for it is that not only does it give education and inspiration, but that it's being used for a multitude of people. Number one, if you are somebody who's dealing with an addiction or something that's holding you from your very best life, I just pray that it has been helpful, that you find that you can share it easily. If there's anything that's not happening like that, that you want to make sure to have us know, reach out to us at that email that's tied to the page, and I'd love to visit with you or at least get some feedback, respond to you, and see what we can do to make this a better podcast, more accessible, or even maybe more diverse. And so thanks for that. Today we're going to jump in and talk about moral injury. And we've talked about this before. We had quite a few episodes on this. If you remember some of the times with Josh Montz and a couple other dialogues that we've had, a veteran out of Riverton, Wyoming. And so we've had some great conversation, but today we're joined by Kevin Kloster. Kevin, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, thanks, Nick, and congratulations on hitting 60 plus. That's awesome.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's went by really quick, actually, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. Again, just here to inform people today. Hopefully, that little light bulb goes on for somebody, you know? And I think those are the moments. We talk about those aha moments that we're able to have with people. And so many of the people that I know we've served in the past, they've said, man, as soon as moral injury was described to me, this light bulb went on, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not exactly PTS, right? It's not exactly what's going on there, but there's some things that are tied to it. And yet, so we're gonna talk about that today, go a little deeper, pull from your experience and wisdom, which you've been growing in now for the past bit, right? I want to talk about your current role. So what is your current role and responsibility here with us at VOA?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. So I've been with the organization for just over a year as the Director of Moral Injury. And so I oversee a team of moral injury specialists who are out in the field. We cover Montana, Wyoming, and Western South Dakota. And they're out there doing the hard work of connecting with people doing education around and awareness around what moral injury is, how it's different than PTSD, how it impacts people, how it affects people, and training up facilitators. We do a lot of peer-led moral injury groups, and so they're training them up and helping us with retreats and different things that we do to help people that are experiencing moral injury.
Yeah, and it's different then. So for people that know our organization a little bit, they know that we've been doing this work with the VA for SSVF, right?
Yep. Yep.
And then working with a whole nother branch that helps veterans find work. And so there's the housing piece. There's this kind of case management almost type piece that goes on. This let's help you find work and get in the workforce and help you walk through that. But moral injury is a different animal altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do, we're not case managers. I like to think of us more as educators. Out educating people and helping people kind of move through the process a little bit, but not case management. SSVF is finding homes for people. You've got HVRP, which is about helping people get to work. And we deal with people who've experienced sort of the trauma of moral injury and helping them to find some peace and healing. And you can be homeless. You can have a home. You can be working, not be working. It affects everybody.
So I want to know about your background. You and I have, talked a little bit about where you come from and what you've done. So just share a little bit about your background and what even kind of drew you to being in this role.
Yeah. So I'm like a semi-retired pastor of, served for 30 years in the church. And I think I shared with you that COVID hit. And COVID, as if you're a pastor, you know how it impacted churches.
Yeah.
And we moved to online worship, like so many people did. And we did this, like the video stuff and all that during the week to make it all presentable on a Sunday. So it wasn't live. It was, we had to piece everybody together. And I actually had weekends off. And my wife commented, "Kevin, it's been so nice to have you home on weekends after all these years." And I was able to spend time with family and my grandkids. And so we made the transition in COVID right after, kind of in the middle of it, and decided to semi-retire from that and took some time just to sort of work on me after 30 years of Sundays. Again, pastors know that burnout is real.
Yeah.
And I was feeling that. And so it was a good time for me just to kind of step away and work on me and get me into a better place. And then this position came along, and it tied in a lot in terms of, spirituality, faith, helping people, changing lives, being a part of that ministry. And so that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah. When you first heard the term moral injury, how did that speak to you, to your mind, to your heart, to your soul? What happened there?
I'll be really honest. When I saw the position, I was like, moral injury, what in the world is that, right?
Yeah.
So I had to Google it like a lot of other people. And then once I saw what it was like, oh my, there's a word for that, a phrase, a concept. It's that aha moment, right? So many people have experienced this phenomena called moral injury, but never had a way to kind of describe it. And it was a huge aha. I served as a law enforcement chaplain for 25 of those years. And I saw a lot of moral injury in our first responders.
Yeah.
I just didn't have a word for it, a concept for it, and I do now. And it's incredibly helpful.
Yeah. We've come a long way. I can remember when we first started down this road with moral injury, and I think we, or at least for me, I heard the term, I don't know if it's been 10 years or more ago, at a learning time, higher education time we had. And I was like blown away by it. And then nationally, we heard that, boy, we're going to start pushing into this. And some of those big names out there like Dr. Brock and others started joining our team and saying, we think VOA is an excellent place because of our heart to provide soul care to people, not just the physical needs and not just the spiritual needs, either. It's this balance of how do we help the whole soul?
Yeah, very holistic.
Yeah, it really is. And so moral injury just spoke as this, well, man, here's this piece that's so important. And I've learned so much and been thankful that Mike Keller, who took our moral injury role early and again took us to another stratosphere, and then you're here. And so there's this ongoing learning that we bring to the table and talk about education, talk about other things. It's been phenomenal to see that. I want to talk a little bit about, for you, I know things have changed a little bit. So how are we seeing now moral injury affecting individuals? What is it that we can recognize and say, oh yeah, that sounds like you have some moral injury there?
So a quick definition for me is sort of what moral injury is. It's doing something, seeing something, failing to do something that goes against one's moral code, their moral values. And we particularly work with veterans at VOA. It's working with veterans, but anybody can experience that, whether you're a civilian, veteran, first responder. Whenever people find themselves wrestling with that, a lot of times what happens is maybe you've done something and then you reflect back on it and you're thinking back and, you know, what I did, that's not who I am. And then that anguish in the soul begins to sort of rise up, and guilt, shame, regret, disgust, anger, all of those things begin to rise up inside of one. And that can just be really impactful in terms of how it affects people, like substance abuse, depression, relationship issues, intimate partner violence. All of that stuff can come out of those feelings. And I'm just grateful to be a part of an organization and a team that is helping people work through that stuff.
Yeah. So there really is a difference between, and I think the reason we focus so much on the veteran is because there is a difference between what the veteran experiences or has experienced on the battlefield and in those realms than your typical civilian, right?
It's just intense. I mean, what they've gone through, it's just a level of intensity. You know, most veteran, or not veterans, but most people that serve, I think of people that grew up going to church and grew up in a faith, and they get over there and all of a sudden they're doing things that go against their faith. And then they're wrestling with that. It's just very intense. I don't know that it's necessarily any different than maybe what a civilian might experience, but the intensity of what they experience is certainly there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it can definitely, we've all seen the news. We know, especially being in Wyoming, a state that is on the top of the charts for suicide.
Yeah, and, number one.
You know, we definitely see that played out in our veteran population and those that have sacrificed to serve their country. And then to be walking in a civilian world, trying to reconcile what they've seen done or seen through the lens of, right, their experience. Hard to put any even words to that. And so,
yeah, that transition is so difficult from, you know, their whole moral code when they get into the military, right? Basic training, it's about taking what you sort of the morals that you're up with, replacing them with a whole different set of ethics, sending you out, you know, you go to war, you do what you got to do, you come back home. Nobody helps you kind of figure out how to get back to the way that you once were. And I really feel like we have a civic responsibility to help our veterans make that transition, to walk with them as they seek to navigate that challenge of transitioning back into our life. It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, it is. And this idea of being able to, when I first started learning about it, there was this talk about, you know, the Roman soldier went out, went to battle, and then got to come back to the community and have this time where they shared what they went through, right?
Yep.
And have had this real cathartic experience. And that idea has been, I think, because of our society and the polarization and all these other things, that idea has just went by the wayside. It's no longer important to share, even to celebrate in that grief and sit with those folks as they share their story. So this is really not exactly that, but it gives us some identity into why that piece was so important.
Indigenous populations did the same thing. You know, the Lakota, when they would go out to do battle, they would come back, they would sit around, they would share their war stories. The women, the children, the elders that were there would listen to those stories. They would offer healing. And if things were done that shouldn't have been done, grace and forgiveness were offered, and healing rituals, and we don't do that so well anymore. And I think that tide is turning, especially here with VOA. We're really trying to lean into that.
Yeah, well, so needed. You mentioned this idea of anomie. Did I say that right?
Anomie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I thought it was beautiful. It's not a term that I had heard in the past, so I want you to elaborate on that a little bit.
All right. So anomie, A-N-O-M-I-E, to spell it for people. Anomie is the collapse of one's value system. And when one experiences moral injury, that's sort of the far edge. You know, you do something. So let me just share a story, if that's okay.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me share a story about a guy that I know who served overseas. And he was in Iraq and did some things that he knows that he shouldn't have done. Grew up in a faith-based home, a Christian home, got over there, did this, and then reflecting back, it was like, that's just not who I am. Yeah. And he got to the place where his faith was impacted. He got to this place where he thought to himself, you know what I did was so bad that there's no way that God could love a person like me for what I've done. And so if God's not going to love me, and if my chances of getting to heaven are over, then what the heck?
Yeah. Well, and again, you're. I want to make sure our audience understands this, feels the weight of this. You're not talking about he got a couple of parking tickets,
threw
trash somewhere and littered. These are weighty things. These are things where lives are taken, where things are done in a way that these are soul wounds that stay with you.
They don't go away easily. Yeah. Yep. We're talking in this particular case, kids. And yeah. if you're over there, you know that sometimes kids were used as shields, and it was gut-wrenching. And he got to the place where his whole faith just sort of collapsed. And along with that enemy, his values collapsed. Mm. And so he got to the place where if God doesn't care, I don't care. And so he became reckless, substance abuse, physical abuse, continued to do even worse things than what he did initially. Because it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. But that wrestled with him, that moral injury, it hung there. He could feel it. And he finally got to the day where he went to a chaplain and just said, I'm a mess. And that chaplain began the process of helping him to explore what it would look like to reimagine God, a God that would love him despite the things that he had done. Anyways, he came to us. Today, he has peace. He's married, he's gainfully employed, life is just full of purpose and meaning.
Yeah.
It's hard stuff that these soldiers go through.
Well, just like the person in recovery or in their active addiction even, the thing that begins to turn the tide and make a difference is you're getting tools. You're beginning to be educated to understand at a deeper level, this is what I've experienced. But this doesn't define who I am, especially right. Not who God has made me to be.
Exactly.
And so I can begin to learn these tools and walk with some real power and presence in life and take those tools forward, because we're going to potentially experience moral injuries again, right? We're not immune to them. Just because we've come through the process of one thing doesn't mean that there's not something else. And since our folks in recovery understand this as well. You're going through the 12 steps. Not because it's a magic pill that you can take and you come out the other side with your 12th step, waving your flag and boy,
yay,
I don't have
I made
more problems.
It. Right.
It, these are tools that become defining pillars in your life that help you walk now through those challenging times. When those thoughts come, when that shame tries to knock on your back door and is pushing in, it gives you the ability to understand, okay, this is what's talking to me. These are the lies or the gimmicks that are being shared in my brain now, and they're trying to take residency, but I don't have to continue.
I don't have to give them power. Exactly.
I love that. And it can be such a humbling process. I think that we forget that here, somebody, especially as a veteran who's walked through what they've walked through, they're carrying pride. They're carrying pride for the fact that they have served, that they've sacrificed. They're carrying pride for the people that they worked alongside, maybe who died alongside of them. And to humble themselves, to be transparent and share out of this heart-wrenching shame and guilt can be tough.
It's not easy. And Nick, so one of the things that we do with our moral injury groups is they're peer-led moral injury groups. Just to lean into a little bit about what you said, a lot of veterans, when they come back, because of that shame, that intense fear of judgment, if I share with you what I did – as a civilian,
yeah,
you're just not going to understand, and you're probably going to turn on me, and I don't want to go down that road. And so what we've learned is that veterans want to share with veterans, and so what we've created are these safe spaces where veterans can allow themselves to be vulnerable, and to know that they're not going to be harmed or hurt in the sharing of their stories, yeah. And just in the sharing of that story. Healing happens, the release, the cathartic experience. Man, I've seen people just break down in tears, having never, ever shared, ever. There's one guy that went through one of our groups. I think he's 80s, early 90s. He was a Korean War vet, never, ever shared what happened. Got into one of our moral injury groups, began to share that experience. Everybody in the group is now in tears, and they're supporting and they're rallying around this guy. Nick, just a couple of weeks after that, he died. And we have his wife's story on our webpage where she talks about how he was finally able to die with peace because he was able to get that out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really powerful. And that's what makes the difference here. Thinking about that larger question of why, as an organization, we would push in to this type of work and how we're doing it, right, has been nothing short of phenomenal. Because you can't just send anybody out. It's like that the AA community or the sober community, right, as well. You can't just go and start a group with just a bunch of random people. There has to be purpose behind it. You want people who've experienced that so they understand how to share with some EQ
people, yep, exactly.
Right? And not just maybe what they've read, because it doesn't translate the same. Thank you for joining us for part one of a two-part podcast. We will be back with part two in a couple of weeks. Recovery Podcast is brought to you by Volunteers of America. If you heard something that strikes a chord, shoot us an email at recoverypodcast@voanr.org. Today's music is courtesy of Free Music Archive. This week you heard tunes by Ketza, who also composed our theme music. Links to the artists can be found at our website. Thanks for listening, rating, and most importantly, for sharing this podcast with your friends and family.